to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout.
It's a racist world after all. Oh yeah, we are going to the magical world of Disneyland. Sorry folks, about to ruin that childhood of yours. On this week's Minority Corner Rewind, we are going to take you on a ride. That's five rides to be specific. So it looks like Splash Mountain, which is based on Song of the South, which is so racist it had to be locked into the Disney vaults, never to be seen again, and they made a ride about it. Well, it's finally getting the makeover that we've been calling for years. So five down, four more to go. So in this MK Rewind, we cover the history of the Song of the South, Disneyland's relationship with Black folks from its opening, and just what these other four problematic rides are that need fixing too. Your work is not done, Disneyland. So hold on to your butts. It's gonna be a racist ride on this week's Minority Corner as we revisit five racist rides at Disneyland.
James, it's your corner. Disneyland is racist.
It's a racist world after all. That is a true song. So, Disneyland.
Yes.
A Necky Pop quiz hotshot.
All right.
Were Blacks originally allowed into the park when it opened in July 17th, 1955?
I'm going to say no, which makes me sad, but I'm hoping they were.
Actually, they were.
Okay, good.
I was experiencing some experiences on some of these attractions and rides there, and this was my first question that popped up. So based on my research, all were welcomed when the park first opened.
Okay,
but for various reasons, POCs were not really showing up in mass amounts, you know? And you can imagine, because of course, like, if you also look at the movies that Disney was producing.
I mean,
and
Song also, of the South, come on, y'all.
Well, we're getting to it.
Okay,
you jump ahead. Don't you sit down,
okay.
Put your arms and your legs into the ride,
I am ready.
And make sure that your safety belt is latched on,
yes.
And you just sit right
I'm
there.
I'm ready for it, and I'll contain myself.
But actually, Sammy Davis Jr. was there hanging out with Frank Sinatra on the opening day. They didn't hire, they actually weren't really hiring any Black folks before 1963, where they started receiving pressure from activists to start hiring folks. And I think mostly hiring them for more so like lower end jobs. Yeah. So that was my first sort of foray because I was experiencing some rides. So there's five rides that I kind of just want to touch on as we lead up to the main event. And
yes.
I think you already know what the main event is.
Yes. There could be two. There's two really racist rides. Or three. Oh my God.
Top five. It's my top five racist rides at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Number one. We all know this one. We're going to go with it. I know it's your favorite, Aneke, but I'm going to put it as number one.
Yeah.
It's a small world.
It's a racist ride. It's my favorite, and it's a racist ride. I can accept this. This is why we say side-eye your heroes.
There you go. And that's another thing. I was like, literally, we're coming up to this week's episode. I was like, I got to side-eye another hero.
I know.
It is every week
always,
I've been side-eyeing. I have no more eyes left.
I know.
They're
like,
just gone.
They just popped out.
My eyes are popping. Not just my lip gloss. My eyes are. So it was originally called Children of the World back in 1964 mm-hmm. for the New York World's Fair. Mm-hmm. And I didn't write it this go around, but I've written it enough.
Yeah.
You just kind of get this like dated sense of looking at the world from this white American national lens. And it's also the creepy as fuck.
It's okay. So it is one. It's creepy. Okay. So just like how we have, this is going to be tough for me because I really do love this ride. And one, I hate the fact that it's just like, you go, oh, we got Sweden and France, yes, and Italy, and then Africa, and
all
then
of these European, well, that's the thing, England. All these European countries get, they get all these differentiations between them, and that's huge, and that is, it's again, like a huge way that how America looks at the rest of the world, and specifically the African continent. Like, that is a big, that is a big issue and a big problem. And that it's still 2017, and that hasn't even been changed. And they're like, also like, but Africa has like skyscrapers and shit.
Like, they need to put like fucking Nigeria and Ethiopia and South Ethiopia, Africa.
There's the Nubians. There's all kinds of stuff that is just, you know, cut out and crammed into this really, really tiny section.
Can
so,
I tell you why I like it?
Sure.
Okay, so the reason why I like it is when I was a little baby kid, I was enchanted by it. And this is a lot of times that what we have to struggle with when we're encountering things that are problematic when you get older. I had the book, and I would look at the book constantly, and I think it's mostly because you're fully immersed in a world with things flying above your head, and the colors are beautiful. Now, yes, it's problematic and it's terrible and racist. Sorry. I just had to say that.
No, yeah. And it's also, hey, it's one of the few rides that Disneyland has that everyone can ride it. There's space for everyone to ride it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is that. It's just like, here it is, it's 2017, and there is time and opportunity to change it. And it's just like, it's a conscious choice to not.
Like, so, let's mix it up. Fuck.
Well, let's get on to our next ride. So, because I want to make sure that we spend enough time on our very, very last one, because it's got a lot of history behind it.
Yes.
So the next one we went, and this one we did go on. These next few we actually did go on. Mm-hmm. So then we went into the Enchanted Tiki Room, which I've never been in.
Racist.
So the Enchanted Tiki Room is it's sort of a pseudo Polynesian themed musical animatronic show.
I'm glad you said drawing pseudo from, because that shit.
Drawing from American tiki culture, according to Wikipedia, that's what American tiki culture specified, and that's how Wikipedia put it.
Good on Wikipedia. Whoever entered that entry, you smart, and I'm proud of you.
So you go in there, and it's a bunch of birds. And again, we had the little ones. We were like, you know, these kids being enchanted by these, you
those
know, experiences
birds are
or
fucking
whatnot. So there are four lead birds, and the first one you get introduced to is Jose.
Which
and
Nikki, is...
where do you think Jose is from?
Cincinnati.
No, he is. He could be. There are a lot of Jose's from Cincinnati, but no, this one in the Tiki Room, he's from Mexico and speaks with a Mexican accent.
Like
he
a is thick one. Like they are not even pretending in this fucking shit.
Oh, so bad. And he's wearing the colors red, white, and green. So he's wearing the colors of the Mexican flag. In case you didn't get it, like just getting heavy-handed. I think he's from Mexico, but I'm not sure.
Also,
oh, it's the Mexican flag.
What does that have to do with Polynesian culture?
That is the other thing, too, because like... What? You are taking this into a weird turn. So again, everything that I'm is unnecessary. So it's unnecessary. Okay, let's get to the next one. Yeah. So we have Michael.
Yeah, where's Michael from?
Well, his colors are white and green.
Okay.
Ireland. So he speaks with an Irish accent.
And let's just say it's racist too, because it's like the most like it is what are you doing?
Charms and they're parrots too. So I didn't know that there were Mexican parrots and Irish parrots. And I guess okay.
What does this have to do with Polynesian culture?
Very true. And then there's Pierre.
Right.
Pierre. Where do you think Pierre's from?
France.
There it is. His colors are blue, white, and red. And then there's Fritz. And do you know where Fritz is from?
Yeah, he's German, and that one really threw me off when I went as an adult.
And you know what his colors are?
What?
White. So this is also weird, because he's this white German.
Why
so it's like
give
this
him
weird
the flag?
See, and then it's sort of like this, is it white nationalism? Is that what's happening
like,
here?
What's happening? The whole time me and Andrew were like, what is going on in here?
And then all the ladybirds all pop up, and they're just all white, not distinct, have no personality. They don't speak. They just sing, and so it's just like the ladybirds, right? So there's that. Yeah,
the weirdest shit, because it's like, why is it the Tiki Room? Why aren't the the whole thing is mystifying to me.
It could have just been like birds of, I guess, the world, but I feel like you could have, and again, it's 2017, so they can re-record those fucking tracks, and you can keep all the same names, and it's Jose, and it's just this guy talking.
Right.
Right.
Or, you know,
you could just hire Jimmy Schmitz and just have him talk.
You know what? they did Moana. Disneyland is now an owner of Moana. They need to just shut down the Tiki Room, revamp it for Moana.
Yeah.
Get some Lin-Manuel Miranda music playing through there.
Oh, you are so right. That's the thing is, like, with all, you're so right, because all of these rides can be updated, especially one that we're getting to, especially with the new themes. They have other options.
Yes.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh, okay, let's talk about this problematic
I'm just
ride.
I'm going for all of your things.
I wasn't even thinking about this one.
Yeah, this ride, I mean, all the characters are white. And it's, again, too, it's like Disney, like, you could... You have the opportunity where you could diversify. They have revamped one of the more problematic scenes that are in Pirates. Especially towards the end, there's these pirates who originally were chasing women around in these circles, essentially trying to rape them.
Which is gross.
Right?
Because
that's what pirates do, they rape and pillage. So they finally, they changed it. They did different iterations. The first update, they were like, okay, they just had the women holding pies and various food. So then it was that the men were trying to get the food,
like,
not
no.
the women. But no, they're gonna get both of those because that's what pirates do. Yeah. They're gonna eat the food and then
pillage.
Take advantage of these women and pillage those ladies. So then they're like, oh, okay. So then the second update was that the women were then chasing the pirates with, like, brooms and rolling pins because they were chasing them out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go. They just, you know, fix it that way.
That lasted for a couple years.
And that's still going on. That's the last thing that I just saw.
Okay,
that is still there. Okay. But what is also still there is the auction for Take a Wench for a Bride. So there's a scene where you're coming up and the women are all tied up in a row and it's Take a Wench for a Bride. And again, like, it's 2017 is the theme of this.
Why wasn't this changed in 1975.
56?
Yeah, I know.
Or 75. First of all, why did it take so long for anybody to raise an eyebrow? So it is now going to be, they're going to shut it down in 2018, and it's going to be changed to one of the red hair women, because apparently the head of the reimagineering team said the red hair woman is the most popular, because they get a call out to her or something in it. They're like, how much for the red wench?
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah. It's so gross.
So the red... The good news is she's now going to become a pirate. So it's the first female pirate that's in there, which is dope.
That's good.
And they're still going to be auctioning her off. I'm just kidding.
No, stop it.
No.
Stop it, James.
She's going to be now, she's a pirate who's now auctioning off booty.
Okay.
And I do mean pirate booty.
Oh, yeah. And short shorts.
Yeah, it's just me in short shorts, so they're auctioning me. That's weird.
I know, I don't like that. I don't know. That's a weird
twist.
Well,
could that work if I'm dancing in my go-go dancing shorts?
Maybe
and
it's like
more,
a dance-a-thon, and they're putting money
like
wagers
thing.
On your...
As long as I'm not in, like, chains
this dark turn.
Picking cotton.
Ooh.
Yeah. So here's my thing, though. Uh-huh. I love this example because it shows that change is possible.
Exactly.
That change is possible. So
right.
then why,
oh, no.
when I went on to the Jungle Cruise...
Oh, no. I forgot about the Jungle Cruise.
Next up, we are going on to the Jungle Cruise. Now, I've never been on the Jungle Cruise before.
Oh, God. I forgot about that fucking ride.
The Jungle Cruise is sort of like it's the 1930s and you're going through, like, South America and Africa, right?
Problematic already.
It's already. And then you've got this, like, cruise guide who's cracking jokes along the way. And at first it starts off, halfway through the ride, I'm just seeing animatronic elephants and some real, that need some attention.
They
have not been touched since they were first introduced in, like, the 60s or whatever.
Sad.
And then there's rhinos, which I found out that the rhinos that they use are actually these extinct rhinos. So it already needs to be updated because those rhinos don't exist.
That's sad. Then
there's a scene where, like, we're cruising along and then the monkeys have guns, which is also weird. The monkeys take over this camp.
Okay.
And so that gets weird.
Yeah.
And then just when you thought it was like, okay, this is a thing. And I turn a corner and then I hear some tribal dancing and drums. And I'm like, oh, God.
I know.
Oh, God.
I know.
Don't. Please. Don't. Because I purposely didn't do it. It's a small world because I just didn't feel like being subjected to this, you know, old ancient idea about what Africa is.
Right.
Again, a fucking continent. It's not a country. It's a continent.
Exactly.
With several different ethnicities and cultures inside of it.
Yeah.
And so
hundreds.
You see these people who are tribal dancing. So I'm like, okay. And then we pass by that. And then we see a pile of skulls.
I know,
so
right?
Now
it's
revealed that these tribal people who are dancing are
also
they're cannibals, right? And so then they start throwing spears at us.
The darts, right? Isn't there like...
There's some darts going on. And then there's a witch doctor who's holding some shrunken, severed heads.
Wait, James, they for real still have that witch doctor that pops out at you?
Witch doctor is the last thing. So as soon as we started getting to the schools, Aneke, and this is a sad thing, I was having such a great Disney magical adventure, and I grew up side-eyeing Disney, because for me, in my family, Disney was kind of for white people, as far as for my family, right? Because, again, we're not really representing their cartoons. Right. It's sort of this idealistic, already sort of like make America great sort of thing already happening in the Disney sort of utopia. Yeah, exactly. And so, and also they didn't have in my family, we rode roller coasters with drops. Like my mom was very adamant about she wanted
you were
real
a Six
roller
Flags
coasters.
Family.
We were a Six Flags family. As soon as I was old enough, my mom took me on Top Gun away we went. Right. So and Disney didn't really have that. It was a little too hokey. So, it's taken me some time to make my peace with Disneyland. And then this shit happened. And I very verbally said there was, aside from me and Jason and his family, his wife and daughter, it was just a boat full of white people.
Yeah, of course.
And
Disneyland.
I just say out loud, this is not okay.
I'm
start waving
you said
my
that.
Finger. I wave my finger at that witch doctor. I'm like, nope, this is not okay. This is not okay. And literally, as I'm starting to say this, the white people have oh, and they kind of then sort of hang their heads down.
Good. Because nobody should be okay with that.
Because literally, it's the African Ooga Booga Savage is still there in 2017. It is literally the Ooga Booga there.
I haven't been on the Jungle Cruise in 1,000 years, and I totally forgot that they have a fucking witch doctor at the end.
Here's the thing that makes me so sad, because had I not been on that ride, I need to be on every one of those boats. Put me on every one of those boats. Book me.
Right.
So I can have a reaction, and I'm a part of the ride where we talk about how this is wrong and not okay.
Oh my God. I am looking at images of this now. This is fucked up. This is fucked up. He has crazy eyeballs and shit.
Yep. It's 2017. It's white nationalism. This is the thing that justifies things like colonialism and slavery, and it just shows the entire continent of Africa is uncivilized, unmoral.
They updated
animals.
Him. He used to have a bone through his nose.
Wow. They took out the bone. Here's the thing. That thing is a stone's throw away from New Orleans. Who is the princess of New Orleans?
Tiana.
So why not do a Princess and the Frog through the Bayou
fucking
tour or something?
Tiana at the end or some shit where it's beautiful and fun, even though their witch doctor and that whole thing was a little problematic too.
But. Right. Okay. Yeah. Very true. But it says there's it's 2017. There's options. It makes me kind of nervous for they're doing a Jungle Cruise movie.
Who's in it? Yeah. Is The Rock in it? Because he's posing on this boat as I'm looking through these pictures. He's black. He should say some shit about that.
Yeah. I'm hoping that when that movie comes out, they're going to revamp this ride or just get rid of it. Something needs to be done. Mm-hmm. So last one I want to touch on, and this is the main event.
Yes.
We need to go to, and you already know this one, so I think you can help me with this one.
Okay.
Let's go the Splash Mountain.
Oh, this is the one I was thinking about. You surprised me with the pirates and the Jungle Cruise because I wasn't even thinking about it. But they need to fucking change this tar baby shit.
Okay, so Splash Mountain was introduced in the 1980s. I remember this was a big, big deal when this ride, because I was 5 years old, I couldn't ride it. My brother was 10 and he got to ride it. And this ride, $75 million were spent into this ride.
Damn, that's expensive.
If you've ever ridden that ride and you're like, what the fuck is this? Well, it's based on a movie that Disney that has locked away into their vault. It's called Song of the South. Oh, it was produced in 1946.
Stay in the fucking
it's
vault.
A mixture of live action and animation. And if you don't know what it is, the Song of the South is like I said, it's a live action animation hybrid. It was directed by fuck those guys.
Yeah, you guys know the song. Know the song.
Well, but let's go through the plot of it, right?
Okay.
So it's based on the collected Uncle Remus stories of author Joel Chandler Harris.
Okay.
And the film follows an innocent young boy from Atlanta named Johnny, and who moves with his mother to his grandmother's plantation.
Fun.
So this is
already
a boatload of fun. Who better to handle, the sensitivity of, plantations and post-Civil War. It's also post-Civil War.
Yeah.
Then Disney, right? Mm-hmm. Aren't they gonna in 1946?
They're gonna do a really good job.
Yeah, so Johnny's father remains in Atlanta working for as a newspaper editor. And so then they're still on this plantation post-Civil War. And Johnny learns a series of life lessons from Uncle Remus, who's a former slave, who tells stories about Briar Rabbit and the other critters. Cool. And the stories are... But the stories are based on African-American folklore
that
Harris had collected.
And
right?
I like that aspect.
So there's that aspect, but the problem, some of the problematic parts of it are like the characters of Uncle Remus and Aunt Tempe, who are these former slaves who are still working on the plantation, and everything is just fine as fine can be. As you go into the song, zippity doo da, zippity day, my oh my, what a wonderful day.
For sharecroppers who have been subjugated and can't make money or have any land.
But everything's fine. Everything's great. And so it's like literally like I don't know what the like the male version is of a mammy is, but Uncle Remus is like essentially just like this, you know.
Oh yeah, they have the two different versions. So there's so what James is talking about is the different prototypes of black women. There's mammy, which is the desexualized, usually larger mothering woman. There's the Jezebel, who's gonna steal your man and has big booty, and for the men, they're either the hypersexual Mandingo or the desexualized louse about grandfatherly Uncle Remus.
Right, yeah. And so Uncle Remus is just telling all these stories. And the song, Zippity Doo Dah, won an Oscar
for
Best Original Song. Jesus. Yeah. And it's still a beloved tune. Like, but here's the thing. Anytime you hear Zippity Doo Dah, I want you to picture a former slave, still kind of pretty much a slave, singing this on a plantation, because that's the song.
Because
that is the song. So the ride is based on this. It doesn't have the characters of like Uncle Remus in
cut
it.
That guy
but
out.
It's also, but it's kind of crazy that in the 1980s they were like, we're gonna do a ride based on this movie.
Right. They were like, oh, this is okay.
Yeah. So, but they banned it in 1986 after people were like, what the fuck are you doing? Why is this back? Like, and because they had re-released it on like VHS. And then they were like, just kidding. It's going back in the Disney vaults. And it hasn't been seen for like 30 years. You can get it like online or whatnot. But what's kind of like, so, I mean, Zippity Doo Dah itself, like, it shows, you know, the whole entire situation, what's really happening is, like, utterly uncomplicated of, like, it strips away any sense of, like, the politics, the history, the ideology of what's happening. Like, you would never kind of, it's almost like a reconstructionist idea of slavery and what was happening for those characters, a revisionist history. You don't really understand the real relationships between blacks and whites. It's very vague when you watch that movie. And it sort of just shows that, like, plantation are a harmonious place where blacks are inferior but content.
Exactly, James. Speaking the motherfucking truth.
So, like, the moral of the story, I guess, Briar Rabbit wants to leave home and get away from his problems because he wants to get away from Briar Fox and Briar Bear.
Yeah.
And the moral of the story is you can't avoid your troubles and there's no place like at home because the kid Johnny wants to go back to where his, like, you know, dad is. But it's like, hey, you got to stay where you are and make the best of it.
That's what the fucking former slave is saying? Oh, God.
Well, no, I mean, that's kind of the story of Briar Rabbit. Like, the moral, the subtext of the story,
Uncle
like,
Remus
Briar
is
Rabbit
telling it.
Is experiencing. Yes. That's kind of the subject. So, like, don't leave the plantation. Don't try to bother better yourself. Just be happy with where you are. Still working on that plantation.
Let's not
but
leave.
Hey, guess
a mass
what?
Is going to get you.
But guess what? You get plenty of sunshine coming your way. I mean, this is, like, literally, like, you're like, oh, Jar Jar Binks. It's like Jar Jar Binks is, like, literally Uncle Remus of his day.
Because that's what he sounds like. If you listen to the way he talks, it's, like, literally so embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then there is, like, in the movie, there's a slur, tar baby gets used when I think Briar Rabbit gets stuck in some tar. And they upped in the ride. They didn't have him get stuck in tar, but they're referencing it when he gets stuck in a beehive instead.
Oh, so they changed it because tar baby was derogatory towards black people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it comes from it because I think Briar Rabbit he makes a tar baby to fool Briar Fox.
Oh, right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
But the tar baby looks like a minstrel.
It's a straight out of that, right? And so there were protests in 1946. What I love is that black folks were like, fuck this mess.
From the beginning?
Like, I feel like you never, from the beginning. Yes. And then it was like months, it premiered on December 14th, 1946. And they protested at the Manhattan Palace Theater. So here in New York.
Oh, wow. Yes.
We've talked about him before. Congressman Harlem's representative, woo, it's where I live.
Oh, nice.
Congressperson Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Wrote a message to the Commissioner of Licenses complaining about the Song of the South, which he deemed as an insult of American minorities. Mm-hmm.
It's the truth.
And there was this quote that was said that no matter how much one argues that it's all childish fiction, the master and slave relation is so lovingly regarded, mm-hmm. with the Negroes bowing and scrapping and singing spirituals in the night, that one almost imagines that you figure Abraham Lincoln made a mistake. Put yeah. down your mint julep, Mr. Disney.
Oh my God.
That's what someone of the New York Times, film critic Bosley Crowther, he was not having this movie back then.
Good, so. Because he was someone who actually knew about something that's going to be fucked up.
Yeah, and like this movie at the time was also, again, sort of like Birth of a Nation. It was an innovative movie because it was using live action and animation. And the director of Greg Toland, the cinematographer of Graves of Wrath and Citizen Kane, it was like one of the first color films that he ever shot. So it was like this huge, oh, wow. big thing. Wow. So going back to like, it's 2017,
mm-hmm.
you have a ride that is based on really problematic racism.
Yes.
Why not replace it with Zootopia? Like you can make it the Zootopia Splash Mountain ride. You
still get the rabbits. Animals. You still get the,
it's still animals. It's literally the same thing. And then you splash down a thing. Like it's not that hard to do the right thing.
James, I love it.
I'm so frustrated because it's like Disney just isn't, they don't care. And like, here's the thing, mm-hmm. with Pirates of the Caribbean, again, because it's dealing with white women being treated disrespectfully.
It got changed.
Mm-hmm. But we still have the Ooga Boogas and the Jungle Cruise.
Right.
And just like the African drumming, and it's a small world. And it's just like, it's a lack of wanting to do it. So what I'm going to do is we're going to start a petition.
We're starting
a petition to, I'm going after one at a time. So I'm going after, because Jungle Cruise hurt my heart when I was on that ride.
Get that guy
fucking
out of there.
Hurt my heart. So we're going to start a petition. We'll put it up in the Minority Corner Kids group.
If you're watching
this on Friday and it's not up, I haven't figured out how to do it. So if you know how to start a petition online, I guess you just go to change.org or something. I don't know.
Oh, my God. James.
But we're going to start a petition to get this thing
changed. I think Jungle Cruise number one, and then definitely Song of the South, because I am looking at these images, and they are fucked up. Did you know that there used to be an Uncle Remus syrup, and it's called, and the catchphrase was, "Dis show am good."
I'm done. Like, it fucking, it hurts.
Get it out of my face and my children, my future children.
And the problem with all of these rides is just the subtleness of the racism.
Right.
Because, again, this place that we have, I mean, it attracts millions of people on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And these are young, impressionable minds. And this is what they're thinking of. Maybe in Splash Mountain, Uncle Remus thankfully isn't there. But definitely things like all the other rides.
Yeah.
Those are people, some of these young kids' first contact with the African continent or with Polynesian type culture or different accents.
Exactly.
And it's done for play and as a joke. And it hurts to be a POC up in that park and seeing your culture being represented like that.
It's so
true. 2017, this is unacceptable.
There, like you said, there are so many, like if you have sentimental value to it, you need to get over it. Just like how I have sentimental value towards It's a Small World. I am getting over that shit for the greater good, for the greater good of the country. And I know that you can still keep the integrity of the ride without insulting people.
Like, absolutely.
That's what I have to say to all those people that are like, what about I loved it? It's my childhood. It's time to move on.
Change it up. And so... That, you know, it's time to change it up. Because and I know that Disney is capable, because I do, when I flip on, I've discovered who Zendaya is for the first time outside of Spider-Man Homecoming. She has this great show. I thought she was like a political activist. She has a show where she and her whole entire black family are spies.
She's from Oakland, so yes.
But like the fact that like they have this show, and then there's another show where
it's
an Asian American.
Or Disney?
Well, on the Disney Channel.
Yes.
And they have another show where there's an Asian American girl, and in the second season, her friend, if they find out that her male friend, they both have a crush on the same boy. So I know
they can do that
Disney is possible for it, but Disneyland itself just needs drain that racist swamp.
We need to update it.
Get the Ooga Boogas out of there first and foremost, and then Uncle Remus / Mountain, we're coming for you. We're just going to make it Zootopia and done.
Easy. Well, maybe not easy, but Disney, you got a lot of money. If you can build a big old fucking Guardians of the Galaxy ride, you could do a little revamping here and there.
Disney.
Fix your shit.
Fix it.
Projects that feature Black actors and are created by Black people are so important because what we see in the media dictates how we think about the world. Representation is so important for Black kids growing up. That's a quote from Amandla Stenberg. Little Rue, we've seen her grow up before our eyes. Just such a brilliant young mind from the mouth of babes, but she's like, you know, young adult now, adult woman. And that representation goes not only from the media that we see, but from what we see in our parks. So work to do, Disneyland. Maybe they listened to our podcast. That's not what happened. It's insane that it took several deaths of unarmed Black people for Disneyland to finally change Splash Mountain. So what do we think it's going to take for them to get after Jungle Cruise? Kind of unfortunate the new movie starring The Rock and Emily Blunt got postponed by a year, its release, because of COVID. And rumor has it, I think there's an out gay character in it. So I don't know. Hopefully that ride's getting a huge revamp. Never did start that petition from a few years ago. So if there is a Eager Beaver corner kid who would like to help start that petition, we will help circulate that round. It takes a village. We're all in this together, as some musical set in high school stated. Really quick, I do want to plug a podcast episode from Vox's Today Explained. Link it in the show notes. It goes into detail about the shooting and murder of Breonna Taylor. Now, as far as I know, as I'm recording this podcast, the cops that killed her, there still has not been the charges brought against them. And listening to, I think we've all heard peripherally what happened, that she was at home with a no-knock warrant. The police came in, barged down the door, came in, and she ended up getting shot, I think, 8 times. And her boyfriend, you know, got his gun. And, you know, there are these plainclothes officers who just barged into their home at 1 o'clock in the morning as they're just in bed watching a movie. And they had heard this very loud knocking and they were scared. They thought maybe it was Breonna Taylor's, one of her, you know, ex-boyfriends or something. You just don't know. And someone's just knocking at the door. Anyways, I really recommend the podcast because, you know, I thought I had knew what had happened with Breonna Taylor, and listening to it, I've been in that situation before. A few years ago, there was an episode about this where I talk about this, but my roommate, he fell off the roof and died. And long story long, I had come home at like around 4 o'clock in the morning and all these police were around what looked like a body. I'd assumed an unarmed Black and brown person in my neighborhood in Harlem had been shot and killed by the police. I asked if I could go up to my room. They said, sure, make it quick. And I went up to my apartment. And a few minutes later, I hear this loud knocking at my door and it's the police. And I don't say anything. I'm just like, well, I'm just gonna let one of my white roommates answer the door, thinking that they were home. None of them apparently were. They go away. They come back another 15 minutes later, pounding at the door. It's the police. I'm thinking maybe I've seen something that I'm not supposed to see. I'm terrified at this moment because I just know that the police are going to barge down this door, see me, and I'm gonna get shot and killed. They're going to panic. They're going to just see my Black body and I'm going to get shot and killed. I thought about having my mom on the phone so she could hear it, but I didn't want them to think that the phone was a gun. And I'm just at, you know, I've been drinking a little bit, but I'm in tears on my knees with my hands up, begging for them to not shoot me. When they inevitably kick down the door and come barging in to just find me on my knees with my hands up in the air in tears, begging, please don't shoot me. It literally is all my life flashing before my eyes. I knew I was going to die that night. I knew that was it. I was terrified. And I just think I lost it. Listening to the Breonna Taylor story of what happened in detail, I really recommend this episode. I thought, no wonder I had PTSD after this moment for years, for the next 2 years. I thought I was going to die that night, on top of finding out that my roommate had fallen off the roof and died. So I just thought I would share this with you of these situations happen, and I'm fortunate and still here today that the right police officer came in and didn't get trigger happy, and I'm still alive here today. That could have been me. So, but I would like to switch gears here and give some a big thank you to some of you all. Y'all have been writing reviews over on Apple Podcasts. It's so helpful. It's helping people to find the show, and y'all have just been so wonderful with your reviews. Here's one from Penumbra Fan. It says, 5 stars, utter delight. Every time I plug into MK, I feel seen, get a dose of much needed cultural and historical perspective, and laugh every other minute. Thanks for this amazing podcast. Well, thank you for writing that review. Love it. Thank you so much. Now let's go to the tweet of the week. Okay, at Thought Word Read wrote, at Minority Corner, making my way through the back catalog of your episodes, starting episode 6 as I tweet this. You guys are really cute and informative. Love your energy. Smiley face. New fan. Smiley face. People don't say governor much in the UK anymore, but mayonnaise is still popular. Haha. All right, governor. Are you sure? You're probably right. I'm assuming that you know. Thank you for that wonderful tweet, governor. Does it help if I just keep saying it? Will it become fetch and become a thing? One more tweet. I thought this one was a great one. This is from @sandal_assi. Shout out to Minority Corner for being both a really informative news podcast and for being funny and entertaining enough to be the only way I get news that hasn't given me major anxiety. If you're looking for a way to keep in touch with what's going on, give it a listen. That is so wonderful. It is what we're here to do, same way. We try to digest all the news and get it to you in a fun yet informative way. And it looks like that is what's happening. So you can write a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening. I don't know. Does Stitcher have reviews? Let me know. If you have, then email me your review. Take a screenshot or something. Email it to minoritycorner@gmail.com or tweet at me that you wrote the review, or Instagram. We're on those. It's just Minority Corner. There's also the Corner Kids Playground. Love it every day. Adding new folks to the community and the conversation. Great place to share more ideas, links, thoughts, pose questions. Really fabulous. And then, of course, we're going to be back here on Friday with a brand new episode. Aneki's going to be back here on the corner. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be fun. It's going to be informative. There's so much to talk about because this is 2020, so lots more to go. Well, all right, well, that's going to do it for now. Stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Be safe. Be safe. I love you all so much. Thank you for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.